Welcome to the Husband Material Podcast, where we help Christian men outgrow porn. Why? So you can change your brain, heal your heart, and save your relationship. My name is Drew Boa, and I'm here to show you how. Let's go. Today on the show, we have with us, once again, my fellow husband material coach, Stephen Thomas. Welcome back, man.
Hey, guys.
Stephen will be joining me today to talk about a topic that I am so passionate about, which is affirmation. And really, it's confession, but the entirety of confession. We usually think of confession as talking about my sin and talking about all the bad things that I've done and talking about the things I don't like about myself. But really, confession, if we're thinking about it biblically, with that Greek word, homologeo, it means to tell the truth. And so when we only have one side of confession, which is only focused on our sin or our lack of sin, then it's like breathing, but only exhaling. It's like, okay, I'm getting all the toxins out. But when we practice verbal affirmation and encouragement with one another, it's like breathing in. It's like oxygen for the soul. And we need to get into that rhythm of breathing in and out. And that's why I care so much about this, because I've seen it so powerful for me and in all of the groups that I've led. What about you, Stephen? Why are you passionate about affirmation?
I mean, we all have a deep desire that is put in us by God to be seen and known. And I think becoming excellent at affirmation is the ability to give that love away. And it's, and when you receive it, you know it, because it's just, it's amazing, right?
Yeah. And when you receive a version of it which doesn't really land, we know what that feels like too.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell when it's contrived or maybe even superficial. But when someone takes the time to get to know you and then know your story and then can speak to you and actually can hit your heart with good affirmation, I mean, I know I feel so loved by God. I feel in community with others and I feel loved by God at the same time. It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. You know, in Trigger Tuesday or in the different story coaching that we do, we share about our shame and our woundedness and our fear, and we share about our pride and we share about our trauma. And at the end, people are like, I see strength in you. I see beauty in you. I see Christ-like character. And it's just so startling.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such an important part, because that's where the healing comes, you know? Mm-hmm. I still remember that time that you did that poll about when, how old people were when they first saw porn. And you came to the conclusion, hey, it's not men that get addicted to porn, it's boys do. So in our stories, we dig in and we find that boy, what was going on? And we see the pain and we dig up, you know, the story of how we started to look at porn. And we typically carry so much shame. But then when you have an external outside perspective helping you see, oh man, that was a good kid and he got stuck and he wasn't helped, and you actually hear that affirmation, it changes you, because you can just let go of the self-loathing that comes, that we carry with us, that reinforces the addiction.
I totally agree with you. And part of why affirmation is so powerful is that we're focusing on who we are, not how we're performing or failing to perform, focusing on, hey man, you were created in the image of God, and this is how I see that image uniquely reflected in your life. And not only are we created in the image of God, we have an identity in Christ, and we're being conformed to that image of God as the Holy Spirit's empowering us to become more like Jesus. And when people can notice that, when people can call that out, it makes me want to rise to the occasion. It makes me want to live like it's true.
Amen. Absolutely, man.
I want to share one metaphor that really stands out to me. When I was a kid, I hated cleaning my room. And part of the reason why I hated cleaning my room is because I felt like my room was already dirty. But if I had just cleaned my room and it was spotless and clean, then I wouldn't even want to drop a sock on the ground, because I wouldn't want to treat it that way, because it's already so clean and pure. And this happens in so many different places with buildings. An abandoned building is so much more likely to receive graffiti. If there's one window knocked out, probably other windows will be knocked out. But if the building is immaculate, If the building is just so well maintained, then people aren't even going to want to litter. People aren't even going to want to mess with it at all. And I think it's the same way when we see ourselves as God sees us, as pure, righteous, spotless, blameless. When we see our goodness, even not just our original sin, but our original goodness, it changes the way we treat ourselves. If I feel like I'm already a piece of trash, or like my room is already a mess, or like my life already has some windows knocked out, it makes sense that, hey, who cares? I'm going to write graffiti on it. I'm going to go use porn, even though I know it's going to continue to damage this building, because you know what? The building's not really worth that much. And the gospel tells us we are worth the cost that was paid for us by Jesus. Yes. It's not his death that makes us valuable. It's actually demonstrating the value we already have. And when we practice affirmation, we are reminding each other of that truth.
So good. One thing I think about, even in the same vein of what you're saying, is I imagine an actual racehorse, you know, if you have a thoroughbred racehorse, they treat them so perfectly, you know, they have like special diets, they have all this care, you know, they don't treat them like trash, like the crappy rundown building. And it's the same thing. If we apply that to ourselves, if we actually honored the vision in our hearts that God's put in there, the God call there, and began to live appropriately, meaning we actually agree with the promises God's put in our heart, the vision and all the desires, and live a life that mirrors that, hey, we are beloved sons of God with a purpose. It's a game changer. It's a game changer in how we treat ourselves. And it's a game changer for the life we live too. Just because we will begin to make decisions that are in line with that. It's actually truly believing, not just here, but in our hearts, that God loves us and life is worth living today.
Absolutely, man. And when we actually try to put it into practice, it sometimes doesn't work out as we've hoped. Maybe we are afraid to ask for affirmation, or when somebody else affirms me, I just don't know how to receive it. One of the comments I always get is that when I ask people, is it easier for you to give affirmation or receive it? They say it's way easier to give, so much harder to receive it and to really believe it for myself. So today we are talking about the art of giving and receiving affirmation, of being known and loved. Because at the core of habitual porn use is not loving myself too much. It's a lack of love. Right?
Yeah. And I like how you say it like that, because when we actually agree with that lack of self-respect, instead of believing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we're actually agreeing with the voice of the accuser over our life. It's interesting because, I mean, honestly, I grew up in a church culture where we would like call out the sin and kind of believe that we sucked, that we were crap, you know, and it wasn't fun. It didn't make me like want to serve God. And it definitely led to some acting out and led to some burnout in my spiritual walk with God. But what I'm learning, and honestly, I've probably learned it most through marriage, is we had a counselor and she gave us a compliment challenge. And, you know, if you think of like how the Bible says we want, how God wants us as husbands to love our wives the way he loves the church, and how he washes us with the water of his word. What does that mean? Like when we speak affirmation over one another, we're literally like speaking words of life over them for them to live up to. And I mean, it's beautiful, right? I love your response. You look like you're bursting at the seams. They wanted to say something, so go for it.
I'm bathing in the washing of the word.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. I mean, like we actually become inspired to love God. So I really think it's important to develop the skill of affirmation and become good at it. And then ultimately be able to do it to ourselves too.
Yes. How did that compliment challenge go for you guys?
We had to be like active about it. And this is a really fascinating thing, but our coach just wanted us to compliment each other 5 times a day, and we had to do specific compliments. So like I could tell my wife she's beautiful, but it's actually hits her heart better if I say, like, tell her specifically what is beautiful about her, specifically what is sexy about her. I love this feature about you. That's turning me on right now. Stuff like that is better than like, you're gorgeous. Like she here, that's actually easy. So becoming specific was a big part of it.
Becoming specific was a big part of it. Now we're getting into the qualities of effective affirmation. So I wanted to share at least three qualities. We might do a bonus tip too. Three qualities of effective affirmation and the flip side of what ineffective affirmation looks like. And the very first one is that it's specific and precise, not generic or vague. For example, Stephen, I love what you've done with the backdrop of your setup right now for this recording. I love your pub back there. I mean, you guys have made it look so inviting and welcoming.
Thank you. My pub feels so loved. No, I'm joking, but that's exactly it. Like it actually, I think probably requires a little bit of vulnerability and curiosity to become good at being specific and asking affirmations. And giving affirmations. So when I coach people, there's times that like I want to affirm, but I actually will hold off and keep asking questions because I really want to give an affirmation that hits their heart. That makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. And you're just gathering data. I mean, there was one time when we were on a phone call and I remember you said that I gave you an affirmation that stuck with you for days. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, you affirmed my consistency in friendship. And that meant a lot to me because I used to have some self-hate about, you know, feeling bad that I felt like an initiator in friendships and that I was always leading friendships. And for me, like getting rid of the self-hate, like we were talking about, and joining in with believing that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made was, you know what? I like the friend I am. I really hope I meet a friend that's like me. So I'm going to be that friend to others. I'm going to stop this bullshit about I suck. And I'm going to just start like being that and giving that away and just see what that attracts to me. Like it's probably going to attract the right people, the right friendships into my life if I do that.
Yeah. And I remember specifically saying that you were sending me Marco Polo's every couple days. And I wondered if there was a part of you that maybe felt like that was too much or if this was not something that I wanted. And I specifically called out that your Marco Polo messages made me smile and that you weren't just sending them when we had something to talk about in business or we had something to talk about with ministry or managing a crisis, but just checking in on how I was doing. And that meant so much to me that you were sending those Marco Polo messages. And I was being very specific and precise about what I appreciated.
And I loved it.
Yeah. And I remember another thing is that in the Facebook group, I asked a question asking people, what do you deeply desire? And you said consistent affirmation.
Yeah.
And it stood out to me that the very thing that you deeply desire was the thing that you were overflowing and giving away. So this is not generic or vague, like, Stephen, you're a great friend. Or,
yeah,
Stephen, totally. I really enjoy working with you. I mean, those things are true, but we're not specific yet.
It's the question is why? Why do you feel that way? That's really a good, like, maybe barometer for if you're giving a good affirmation. Are you sharing the why?
Yes.
Behind the compliment.
Mm-hmm. And that's the second quality. So the first quality of effective affirmation is that it's specific and precise. The second one that I want to share is that it's evidence-based. It's clearly not made up. There's something I can point to verify that what I'm saying matches reality. Because one of the hard parts about receiving affirmation is that we have this inner critic who's saying, oh yeah, he doesn't really get it. Oh yeah, he's just making that up. There's this part which thinks to itself, oh, he's affirming me. Great. I fooled one more person into thinking that I'm wonderful when I know how terrible of a person I am. So having evidence to back it up, having a memory or a string of stories which prove that you really are a consistently affirming friend means that it decreases your resistance, increases the likelihood that you might actually believe this about yourself.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
You know, Stephen, you were coaching me the other day, and through that session, I realized just how voiceless I felt as a little boy. And it became very clear that actually my voice is one of my greatest strengths, and that podcasting has become a passion. And writing and creating content and coaching is using my voice to empower others, where I felt so powerless and voiceless as a kid. And so it was just so specific to my story that I realized, wow, yeah, I really do have a voice that matters, that I should use to speak up and to continue with this ministry, even if not everybody likes it, and even if we face opposition.
No, that's so good. And that's actually, to me, even a different quality of affirmation. It's like affirmation can, in my mind, be even more than a compliment. Affirmation is almost like being able to attune with someone's story and tell them it makes sense why that hurt. It's that, because again, this is about being known and then seeing like, oh, I could see how that hurt you. So again, I'm actually affirming that like this season of darkness, the season where porn came in to your life, like, oh, there was a good kid and he was in a lot of pain and he was being neglected, you know? So I find I had a similar experience. I shared a story in my group, in the group I coach, and somebody gave me an affirmation just saying, man, that guy was a jerk. I'm like, thank you. And I just felt actually really loved just because I felt understood. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that that's something that at the core of being good at affirming someone is attunement, listening, validating.
That word validating is so important, right? For you to say that guy was a jerk validates.
Yes.
Whereas I think a lot of times when we're shooting all over each other, giving people advice or trying to correct them, we end up invalidating. And that's why I feel like affirmation is one of those things that is not just a topic that we can talk about and move on from. But in our groups and in our coaching relationships and in our friendships, this is like breathing. We do it regularly. We practice it. We develop this muscle because it's going to sustain us and strengthen us on a regular basis.
Yeah. And, you know, part of what we are trying to build too is a culture of vulnerability, you know? Yeah. And I think so many people in the church especially have been hurt by not feeling like they can be themselves. And part of it is because we are always like giving advice, you know, we're always or spiritualizing and shooting on each other. And, but if we actually took the time, I mean, you know, the first thing love is described as in 1 Corinthians is patient. So if we actually like lay down the agenda and sit with someone and attune with them and hear their story, and then bring an affirmation, like, what a culture that would be, you know? Like, I think then we would live up to that verse that says Christians will be known for their love for one another. We'll be so good at making people feel loved, and we'll be showing them Jesus. That's the point.
That's the point. I love another verse in Romans 12 where it says, outdo one another in showing honor. Mm-hmm. To me, that almost sounds like the compliment challenge. Outdo one another. Compete with one another in showing honor and in our sexuality, which has been laden with so much shame, and where most of us are hyper aware of our sin. To be honored, it feels so refreshing and so life-giving. Somebody opens up about their story or even about a relapse, and you say, thank you so much for your courage to share that with me. I'm so sorry that happened to you. I'm so sorry. Or even, that must be so difficult right now. This guy knows he's done something wrong. He already knows that he's sinned against God and he's sinned against others. What he doesn't know is that even now the Holy Spirit is at work. And even now he is displaying the character of Christ in his repentance to just have this conversation. And that is a huge step forward.
Amen.
So whenever we are working with somebody, whether it's a coach or whether it's an ally, or even if it's your spouse, I believe that just as important as the discipline of confessing sin is the discipline of affirming one another. And here's another quality. This is the last quality of effective affirmation I want to say, is that it's focused on the person and it's focused on the heart, not the performance. I received a lot of affirmation growing up around academics, around sports, sometimes, even if it wasn't always deserved. I received affirmation about the things that I was good at. And in the process, began to wonder, well, what if I fail? And what if I don't perform? And what if I don't have the same kind of success as other members of my family? Would I still get the affirmation? Would I still get the affirmation without the performance? And that is why it has to be focused on the person and focused on the heart.
That's so good. I mean, it sounds like when I hear you saying that, it's like, is unconditional love real? Mm. And you're right. I mean, we, as a parent, I'm always thinking about creating safe places for my kids to fail. Yeah. I want them to try. I want them to be creative. And when they make mistakes, I don't want to lose my shit. I want to be able to just calmly address them and love them. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. Actually, just last night, we had family God time. And I was thinking of that verse about, you know, if you have an offense with someone, lay down your gift at the altar and go make things right. So I felt like, hey, we need to like ask God if there's any things we need to apologize. I needed to apologize for my daughter for being harsh with her the other day. And the reason why I'm saying all that is just to say that, you know, as a kid, like a kid tries things and fails, you know what I mean? They're not good. You're not just naturally good at it. And can we get love in that spot? And it's so important to know love just in like, I see that you're trying really hard and that like, I see you, you know? And honestly, that's something I do for myself today. That's something I speak over myself today. Like there was a reason my wife and I were in marriage coaching. If those of you who, follow the Dr. Eddie Capirucci's podcast, being free from porn is part of the journey. The journey is becoming whole and learning to emotionally connect with people. And even though I've been free from porn for 12 years, I didn't know how to do that. So we had to go through some marriage counseling. And so my point is connecting emotionally with my wife, I wasn't naturally good at. So there are times when I was growing and if it wasn't being received or we just weren't connecting, I would just have to regulate myself by connecting with love, saying, I see you're trying really hard, and rooting myself in God's pleasure over me, that he sees me chasing like strong marriage. And that felt so good. It feels so good.
Chasing a strong marriage and affirming that choice, regardless of the outcome. If we affirm somebody's performance and the outcome without honoring the difficult choice that was made, then the person's going to think, well, I guess if I want to be a good husband or I want to be a good Christian, then I have to achieve this result. When God looks at the heart, and when we affirm someone saying something like, it took guts to do that. You took a risk. You made a choice in alignment with your values, even though it didn't turn out the way you wanted. And that is a victory, my friend.
Okay. Yeah. And going back to marriage, being able to do that for my spouse, if I'm like, okay, I can really see she tried. It actually didn't, like, sometimes we miss each other, but sometimes we just got to stop and affirm, I see you're really trying hard and I appreciate that, you know?
Yeah. And that means more, I think, when it comes to attunement, is like knowing that this person is really trying to understand me means more than if they get it perfectly right.
Yeah. Because some people might just be gifted in doing, in getting it perfectly right. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, I mean, the effort is part of it. And again, we said, like, going back to what your story was, Drew, is unconditional love real? You know, mm-hmm. Can we experience love in the process? And guess what? we're always in process. Like we get so stuck on destination, mm-hmm. and the truth is we're always in process, you know?
Man, about that unconditional love, one of the things I have learned to do is to ask for affirmation when I need it, when I'm feeling really down. Sometimes when I'll be about to take a big risk or do something that's kind of scary, I'll ask my wife, hey, would you give me a blessing right now? Or could you speak an affirmation over me right now? And almost always, she has 30 seconds to come up with a sentence that will stick with me. And it just gives me what I need. Even if you're not married, we can ask each other for this. Like, I want to give you permission to just ask for affirmation. And let me tell you about a really important story with my parents when I realized that unconditional love was real. I was talking with my parents. This was around the time when I was hoping to go full-time with husband material and hoping that it could become my career, but it wasn't making enough money yet. And my wife was still working her job, and we actually lost money for a year. We did not make money for one of those years. And I was with my parents, and they were affirming me in what I'm doing, saying, oh, you're doing such a great thing for the kingdom. And I took a risk by telling them, Mom, Dad, basically you and every other adult in our family has had a financially successful career. You've all made it in a way. What if I don't? And what if I'm a stay-at-home dad for the rest of my life? Would that still be a great work for the kingdom? And it took a while for them to get from that place of affirming the work that I was doing to really affirming me. And these are the words that I'll never forget. I asked my dad, what if I was a stay-at-home dad for the rest of my life? And he said, then I would want to be one of your kids. It just hit me. It was specific. It was precise. It was focused on who I was. And it was based on his evidence of the kind of parent that he has seen me to be. Maybe the kind of parent that he wasn't in some ways. And he said, then I would want to be one of your kids. I was like, wow, that unconditional love, it sunk in. And it didn't come because he thought of it. It came because I asked for it. And it came because we had this really hard conversation where we got into the mess. And some of the lies that I was believing, even though they had never said outright, our love for you depends on your performance. And they would never say that. But it was just the way that I interpreted things as a kid, because kids are excellent observers, but unfortunate interpreters. And that's part of why we need to work on the skill of affirmation.
Yeah. You know, I just have to say, I love your boldness. I love it. And even as you're sharing that story, it made me think, actually, even back to the conversation where you affirmed me and it stuck with me for a couple of days. And a gift you gave me before even giving me that affirmation and that conversation was, you told me, you actually ended the conversation with, let's affirm each other. And I was like, crap, we can do that? Like, I just was so grateful that you said that, because it's like, I've been wanting that in friendships, but nobody's ever invited me. Hey, let's, we both know we want affirmation. Let's do it. I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. And for me, it's like, I feel like that unlocked, you know, sometimes you see, it's like being given permission, you know, you can do this with other people in your life. And I'm planning on, I've already put into practice that with some other friends. And, you know, it might feel awkward. And especially for me, like, I'll say this too. And I don't think we really even went into this. I think one of the resistances we have to affirmation is some of the cultural things that have been taught us about men, like not needing help, not showing weakness. And like, I thought that needing affirmation was like one of the reasons, like I thought that the fact that I needed it was probably like related to, at the time I was struggling with same-sex attraction as like a bit, that was the only thing I was attracted to. And what happened was, I remember one time somebody gave me a really great affirmation and I was just stone-faced because I didn't want to be vulnerable to like show them like how much it meant to me. you know? And so that's the other piece, like, we're kind of tearing down, is that, you know, laying into vulnerability takes courage, and courage is masculine. And it's actually a sign of strength.
Yes. I want to just stop there, because that is countercultural, and that is going to blow some people's minds. That actually saying, I feel a need for affirmation. Can we give each other that gift right now? In that moment, you're probably going to feel like a sissy, unmasculine, weak person, right? When what you're saying, Stephen, is that the exact opposite is true.
Amen. I mean, you're breaking through the cultural barriers that have connected many men's hearts, kept many men's hearts disconnected from love and from each other and from community. Right. That isolation has created a world where, what is it, like 75% of Christian men are sex addicts? You know, like, it's something absurd, including pastors. So yeah, I mean, you're breaking through it. And that's actually good to know too. Like, not everybody's going to respond well to it. They're going to make you think you're weird. You don't have to own that. And you can even love yourself. Hey, that felt weird. I might've even lost a friend for a while. They may not want to talk to me, but I love you that you're trying. And you know what? Again, I can love who I am. I can be myself in every situation, and I can trust that the God of abundance is going to bring in the right people into my life and even push away the people that I shouldn't be journeying with closely in this season. It doesn't mean like, oh, I'm not talking about like, permanent breaks or anything like that. But sometimes it's just, you can't go to the next place God has you with certain people just because they're not able to get there themselves at that time. And that's sad. But my point is if we believe, if we can affirm ourselves well, we can actually walk that and actually grow.
Yes.
It's not our message, I'm not going to lie, but it's a reality.
Yeah. And I love what you said about being honest and just checking in with somebody. Hey, how did it feel for you when I said that? Or, hey, when you said that, it was actually uncomfortable for me. That's huge. That's being able to attune. And to be giving and receiving this affirmation and to feel this hunger for this, it doesn't always have to be erotic and sexual.
Yeah.
Some of us have sexualized it and pursued women or men in order to get that affirmation. And we thought, well, it has to be sexual if I'm going to get it. Rather than holy fatherhood and brotherhood and male bonding that God created us for. Like, that's part of our birthright, is to have brothers in Christ who we're close to. And it doesn't have to be gay.
100%. And I mean, and I love that you're right. It's not even just a same sex attraction thing, because the truth is that, you know, when you have sex with someone, there's emotional need that's being met, that it's like, oh, this person's willing to be with me in this intimate way. So you actually feel celebrated and affirmed in some way. There is, like, that's the thing with unwanted, this unwanted approach we take, which is that any unwanted sexual attraction you have, like, everyone has a template and it's driven by your wounds. So my point is that the wounds you specifically carry are being met even in your sexual conquest, whatever it is. It could be gay or straight. And so you get this celebration of like, oh, wow, I'm interesting to this person, you know? And that's kind of a cool thing that gets filled when we affirm each other. It's like, oh, person took the time to get to know me and is showing me that they care about me enough to tell me that. That feels so good.
Yes. So if we're doing affirmation right, it will completely eliminate the need or the compulsion to sexually act out, at least as long as the afterglow of the affirmation is there. As long as that tank is full, there is no space for it to be infiltrated by something that doesn't belong.
Yeah.
Think about it. When you feel fully seen, known, loved, cared for, accepted, desired by someone you admire and respect, doesn't that fill you up? There's no space for sexual sin. And also, when we're doing affirmation right, the result is not narcissism. That's the kind of affirmation we get in our culture. The result of biblical affirmation, like what we're talking about, encouraging one another, building one another up, like Proverbs says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. When we are speaking life into one another, the result is worship. Not worshiping the other person, worshiping God. And there are times when somebody's giving affirmation and it almost feels like they're bending over backwards and trying to please or appease you. I've been guilty of that, of kind of flattering somebody else. The result of that is not worship. When we're doing it the way that we're talking about, being specific, precise, evidence-based, and focused on the other person and their heart, the result is worship. It's, wow, God. Wow. Maybe I'm not a piece of trash. Maybe you can love me through another person. Maybe you can use me to love another person. Maybe you can use me to help somebody feel better about themselves and get free from porn just by practicing affirmation. It's so empowering.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about doing this in a Christ-centered context, because I'm not just saying, hey, man, you're awesome. I'm saying, here's how I see the Holy Spirit moving in your life. Here is how I see the character of Jesus Christ being formed in who you are. Here's how I see the love of the Father flowing through you to me and to another person. That's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah. And Drew, you brought up something that's really near and dear to my heart, which is ultimately, I've learned that I have to be the number one owner of my own affirmation. What that means is, again, like I talked about, if I'm in conflict with my wife and I'm trying really hard and we just haven't gotten anywhere, being able to love myself, because like you said, maybe the glow of an affirmation from someone else goes away, but being able to sit with yourself and love yourself is key, because that means that you see yourself the way God sees you. And it doesn't mean, I'm not trying to promote isolation, because again, loving myself sometimes is reaching out and being vulnerable rather than hiding. Hiding from others is actually self-hate. But there's going to be moments where we need to affirm ourselves, and it keeps us grounded that this is about God and not about the other person, because there's just going to be times that others aren't available anyway. And yeah, I just want to encourage everybody that even if it feels weird, to start off with some good self-talk, maybe even write out some things you love about yourself, some things that qualities you have that you really enjoy. And then maybe say, hey, tell a friend you're going to do it. And then why don't you share it with one another, you know, yeah. And then affirm each other. And that way it may give you a start of, like, if you're in that moment where you got to lean on, you know, yourself, because that's all you have in that moment, and you and God, like, you can connect with God's heart for you of like, wow, I'm so glad that God made me this way. And honestly, I'm going to share this. Maybe this doesn't make sense, but learning to find things to celebrate myself was a key to growing out of the addiction, because I didn't believe I could stop the behavior. And I thought I was just terrible at everything. So I actually needed to start focusing on some things that I was good at and remind myself of that. And the other thing I want to say too is, you know, Drew and I both do group coaching. Groups are a great place for this too, because when you get in a group and in community and you have other people affirming you, and you can start to own that for yourselves, because I'll admit, I know self-hatred really well. Sometimes it's hard to like know what to say. Even if it feels weird or you're not connecting, still start and try. But also, like, group community coaching can be really helpful for that, because you're going to hear from others about what's great about you, and you'll begin to believe it more. And that can maybe start you off on the momentum to have the skill of self-love. I mean, honestly, if I had one desire for everyone here, it would be to just be able to be comfortable in your own skin, you know, and the peace comes with that. You know,
to be confident.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that comes with a healthy, like, self-love that is rooted in knowing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and being able to celebrate with God his creation. It's not narcissism. It's proper, and it will get it. That's how you stay full and can give away to
proper celebration. We need to learn how to celebrate. Sadly, sometimes porn is the most celebratory thing we do all day or all week. Here's just a little reward I'm going to give myself. Or here's the only reward I'm worthy of, because deep down I believe I'm a piece of trash. So what if there was something so much better? What if there was a group of men who you could get close to and also feel safe with? A group of men who really know you, who really know your story, and love you in the middle of it, and prove it with specific affirmation. That's what we do in our groups every single week, processing through our stories, our triggers, our childhood experiences, our trauma, and entertaining the good desires God has given us, pursuing them with ferocity, and choosing divine delight, getting our desires met by God, finding them with other people, giving them to ourselves and overflowing to others. That's what our groups are about. And I'm really excited that you're leading a group, Stephen, and you still got some space for the one that's going to start coming up here in April.
That's right. April 15th, we start.
Awesome. And for all of our upcoming groups led by me, Stephen, or one of the other coaches who are coming through the pipeline and husband material to join our team, all you have to do is click that link in the show notes or go to husbandmaterial.com/group. And that's probably the best way to get into the mess worth making of practicing the art of affirmation.
Amen.
You know, but even if you don't join one of our groups, you can practice this in your group. You can practice this with your allies. You can practice this in your marriage. You can practice this with your kids. It translates. It applies everywhere.
Go on a compliment challenge with your spouse.
Try it out. Let us know how it goes.
And can I say one thing about that too?
Yeah.
So the other thing about affirmation and even speaking things out loud is that we trust our own voice more than we trust other voices. So when we affirm ourselves, you and actually speak it out, you will begin to believe it more just by hearing it. And if you think about it, faith comes from hearing the word, right? Similarly too, when we affirm our spouses, especially if you're in a tough place in your marriage, I really recommend trying this out, because not only does it wash your spouse with the water of the word, at the same time, you hear these things about them and you get to be, you begin to believe, change the negative belief systems that are in your mind about your spouse, which also need to be addressed. So it works two ways. It's really good. Try it out.
Yeah. When I was leading groups in college, one of the things we used to do is create an affirmation web. So one person would have a ball of yarn and then would toss it to the person who he's affirming. And then he would toss it to the next person. And by the end, you have this huge spider web representing all of the connections and all of the love and all the blessing that's shared between this group of people. And by the end, it's really stunning. And everyone gets to give and receive. And you also get to see maybe who doesn't have as many threads. And then you can target that person next. And you always have to be genuine and authentic. That's just a great way to practice what we're talking about.
That's so cool. I wish I would have thought of that. And can I just say, that is a beauty, because I've led groups for, you know, 3-4 years. And without realizing it, you can slip into this place where it becomes about behavioral change. So when you hear somebody share something that's hard, you start just thinking about, oh, what advice can I give them that will be effective? You know, and but just to be grounded in like, no, they need to be seen. And like, how can I bring curiosity to dig to that place where like I'm finding the kid and then able to speak to him, like, you know, a direct target to the heart. That's where healing happens. And that is an amazing, that was an amazing little game you came up with.
Yeah. I don't think I came up with it, but I definitely did it a lot with every group that I led. And I noticed that when I did it repeatedly in a group, we got better at it. And especially as you know, someone's wounds and some of the longings of their heart, like you said, it gives you a very precise target of where they need affirmation, and it's so much more powerful when you can hit a bullseye.
Yeah.
Stephen, thanks for having this conversation with me today, and I'm really grateful for your courage to be seen and heard on this podcast yet again, even with not a lot of preparation.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Drew. It's such an honor. honestly. I appreciate you sharing the space with me. And I know I say that every time, but I really mean it.
Did you want to take a turn to affirm me too? Because sure. I'm open.
I love it. And I will say, that's what I was trying to do with the gift you gave me about affirming, like, hey, let's affirm one another. I love that. Drew, I love your ability to manage the, I know there's a whole technical side to what you're doing and a whole management, and your ability to stay connected at a heart level as you do it is just mind blowing to me. It's really great to be around and witness, because you're doing things that I'm just starting doing with you, and you're showing that it can be done. And I just appreciate it, because I just know it. It's not that I appreciate it. It's that I just want to acknowledge that that's a tough skill. That's a really tough skill, and you're kicking ass at it. I do appreciate it, of course. But
wow. I cannot hide how this is affecting me right now. No one's ever said that to me before. And it is true. It is true to balance managing the tech side of it and connecting at a heart level. I had never really thought of that before. I think that one's going to stick with me for a couple days.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. And always remember, you are God's beloved son, and in you he's well pleased.